Amen to that. Good morning. Welcome to worship here at Calvin Christian Reformed Church. If you're visiting with us this morning, we pray a special welcome upon you. We pray that you would see Jesus with us this morning as we wait for, again, the coming of the Messiah. Once again, in a few days, Christ birthed in our hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit, Christmas time. Before we get started in worship, a few announcements. To begin with, we would like to offer our Christian condolences to Mike Van Otterloo's family in the passing last Sunday of his mother. That's why they weren't here. So prayers for him and his family. Also, condolences for Margaret Hopp's family. You may have heard Margaret Hopp passed away. I believe it was yesterday. Funeral arrangements are still pending, but the funeral will be tomorrow, most likely either at 10:30 or 11 o'clock at Maurer Johnson. So one of the two, most likely 10:30. So keep those families in your prayers at this time. Also keep Cass Martin's mother in your prayers. Cass, of course, is our Sunday school teacher. Cass's mother had a seizure yesterday, and she is in the hospital. And so he asks for your prayers for her. And we will be praying for her as well in worship this morning. So keep her in your prayers also. Other announcements, thanks to Derek and Angelie for that beautiful opening prelude and for what you will do in the offertory. We give thanks for your gifts. Sunday school is on hiatus until January 12th. So don't show up for Sunday school until January 12th. We're having our time off. A big thank you to those who caroled last Sunday. There's a note, of course, in the bulletin from Ken and Trudy on behalf of Patty Ritzema, giving thanks for you showing up at her room and caroling. And also, I just want to say from Audrey Van Grau, you do not know how much it meant to her that you showed up at Audrey Van Grau's place there in Remsen and caroled for her. She kept talking and talking and talking about it this past Friday. So thank you for that. Thank you. Oh, you got to carol for Margaret, too. Well, good, good. Thanks be to God. Glenn has an announcement he would like to make.
The service will be at 5:30. Service will be at 5:30
on the 24th. Thank you. Yes, as Glenn said, we're having our candlelight Christmas Eve service this Tuesday, December 24th at 5:30. And if you have children who will be participating in the stable scene, please show up 15 minutes early so we can begin sort of getting them ready. So I'll be here early. So join me with your children as well. We're looking forward to a beautiful Christmas Eve service. That is all for our announcements this morning. Let's take a moment now, a moment of silence, as we prepare our hearts to enter into the presence of the Holy One of Israel. Would you pray with me? Amen. Christ is with us this morning. We stand now to sing together our opening song of worship, Shout to the Lord. to worship this morning comes from Isaiah 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with 6 wings. With 2 wings they covered their faces, with 2 they covered their feet, and with 2 they were flying. And they were calling to one another,
"Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory."
At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke.
"Woe to me, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips. I live among the people of unclean lips. My eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty."
Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said,
"See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for."
Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying,
"Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?"
"Here I am, send me."
"Go and tell this people, be ever hearing but never understanding, be ever seeing but never perceiving. Make the heart of this people calloused, make their ears dull, and close their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn and be healed."
"For how long, Lord?"
"Until the cities lie ruined and without inhabitants. Until the houses are left deserted, and the fields ruined and ravaged, until the Lord has sent everyone far away, and the land is utterly forsaken. And though a tenth remains in the land, it will again be laid to waste. But as the terebinth and oak leave stumps when they are cut down, so the holy seed will be the stump in the land."
Sisters and brothers, we know who that holy seed is. We look forward to his springing forth again, December 25th, springing forth in all our hearts as Christ comes again, born of a virgin, born under the law to redeem those who are under the law, under the curse. Receive the blessing of the God who has sent himself to you and for you and lives within you. Grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, the ruler of the kings of the earth, even as he sends his 7 spirits from before his throne. Amen. We hear God's greeting, and we are aware that we are a people of unclean lips. And so we say our prayer of confession. Will you close your eyes and bow your heads with me as I say the prayer on our behalf? Holy God, we recognize that like Isaiah, we are not worthy to stand in your presence. We may have dressed up this morning and put on our game faces and may act as if we have it all together, but we know. We know that we come before you with unclean lips, hearts, and hands. Yet you still invite us to come and worship. And so we come not because we are worthy, but because we are unworthy and in need of your grace. Help us experience that grace today so that we may share the good news of your salvation with all we make. In Jesus' name, amen. Hear the good news again this morning. We confess our sins. We confess the reality of our lack of love. And yet God comes near to us. He comes to forgive us. The Apostle Paul puts it this way. He says, "It is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, of whom," he says, "I am chief." Chief. We all feel that in our bones, that we are chief of sinners. And yet this is what Jesus says to us this morning, right here, right now, to you. "I forgive you. I forgive you." These are Jesus' words for us. We dare not disbelieve them. He speaks the truth. We are forgiven. And in the joy of that, in the knowledge that our sins are washed away, we turn to one another, we exude that joy, and we greet each other in Christ's precious name this morning.
they shared the good news of the Savior's birth. People everywhere still rejoice in Jesus Christ and anticipate one day celebrating together with him face to face. The fourth candle on the Advent wreath is called the Angel's Candle. It reminds us of the hope fulfilled in the first coming of our Savior and of our continuing hope as we anticipate his coming again. Hosts of angels heralded the Savior's birth when they sang, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." Hosts of angels have been proclaiming God's word, God's praise all through God's word.
Listen to these words from Nehemiah 9, verse 6, Daniel 7, 9 through 10, and Hebrews 12, 22. You alone are the Lord. You made the heavens, even the highest heavens, and all their repose, the earth and all that is on it, the sea and all that is in them. You give life to everything, and the multitude of heaven worship. As I looked, thrones were set in place, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was as white as snow. The hair of his head was white like wool. His throne was flaming with fire, and its wheels were all ablaze. A river of fire was flowing, coming out from before him. Thousands upon thousands attended him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated, and the book were open. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly.
As believers in the second advent, we too are filled with the hope that what the scriptures have said about Jesus is true, and that one day we will witness his coming again. We belong to the one who spoke at creation, the one who saved us from sins, and we entrust our lives to the one who is the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world.
Listen to these words from Revelation 5, verse 9. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain. And with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation."
You may be seated. At this time, we gather together to offer our prayers before the throne through Jesus, the blessed Messiah, the Lamb of God, Emmanuel, God with us. The Holy Spirit lifts us up, and we bring all of who we are. So would you join all of your hearts and all of who you are with my heart and all of who I am before our Father in heaven this morning. Let's pray. Holy Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we do praise you. We do praise you and sit in wonder of you, for you are the creator of all things, heaven, earth, the waters, above and below. And all we can do is give you thanks. Thanks in wonder at what your hands have made. But also thanks in wonder in what your hands have remade. Lord, in a few days we will celebrate your birth. And this is a strange thing to say, for you are the one who fills all things, and all came into being through you, and you were without beginning. And yet you took upon yourself a beginning. You came down, you who fills the heavens, and you filled a baby's body. You cried. You nursed. And you saved us. And we live into the reality of that salvation. God and man united in one person, Jesus, the Messiah. And because of the reality of who Jesus is and who we are in Jesus, that we are now one with you, heirs of faith and hope, those who hope for eternal glory, we bring all of who we are to you. We bring our bumps and bruises, and we bring our joys, and we bring the things that break our hearts. Lord, this morning we begin by offering to you Mike Van Otterloo and his family and the passing of his mother. We pray that you would be with Mike and with his family. Bless them. We pray for Margaret Hopp's family with her passing. We pray that you would be near to them also. Lord, there are many, it seems, that are dying around us, family members. Last week we prayed for Marv Corver and his family, and we continue to pray for them, Lord. We continue to pray for Gail Wallhoff and her family and the passing of her father. And Lord, we pray also for those who haven't passed, but who are ill in one way or another. Lord, this morning we think of Cass's mother. We pray that she would be well. Heal her. Be with Cass and give him wisdom in that situation. Lord, we pray for all who are struggling with health in this season. We pray every week for Sandra, and we pray for her again. We pray for her healing, Lord. We give thanks for each day, and we pray, Lord, that you would bless her with healing. We pray you would bless Greg Smith with healing as well. Nomi Voss and John and Judy's daughter, Katie. Lord, pour out your grace upon them in this season of grace. Give them a sign of new creation in their very bodies, we pray. We continue to pray for those who were in accidents and continue to get better. We're thankful for their continued improvement, people like Nicholas and also Sean Boltice, Marvin Williams, and others. Continue to be with them, Lord. Continue to be with Glenda Hoffland with all of her struggles. Give her your grace and peace, we pray. We pray, Lord, for our shut-ins, Frank Vanden Bosch, Patty Ritsema, Denise Masbergen, Jan Sneller, Audrey Van Grau. Draw near to each of them. And we give thanks, Lord, that Margaret has drawn near to you and that you have taken her to yourself. We rejoice with her in this day, even as she sings with us in praise and adoration to you. Lord, we also offer before you all who are brokenhearted this morning. We pray this every week because, Lord, there is much heartbreak among us. We struggle in so many ways. So many secrets that others do not know. The sadness over those who have hurt us. The sorrow at our own shortcomings. The frustration at our body's betrayal. The despair sometimes that creeps in. We offer it to you, Lord. We don't hide it, we offer it. And we pray, Lord, that you would draw near. Draw near again to each and touch the wounded. Teach them, touch them, so that they might be able to sing for joy again in this time of good news and hope, in this time of Christmas. And so, Lord, as your children who offer all of who we are to you, we bring our prayer now on our lips, and we say the prayer that Jesus taught us to say, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. At this time, I'd ask the deacons to come forward and to take our morning offering. you for that. This morning we continue our sermon series from the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 12, as our text this morning. A great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant and cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. Then another sign appeared in heaven, an enormous red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on its heads. Its tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to the earth. The dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth, so that it might devour her child the moment he was born. She gave birth to a son, a male child who will rule all nations with an iron scepter. And her child was snatched up to God and to his throne. The woman fled into the wilderness to a place prepared for her by God, where she might be taken care of for 1,260 days. Then war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth, and his angels with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, "Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters, who accuses them before our God day and night, he has been hurled down. They triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury, because he knows that his time is short." When the dragon saw that he had been hurled to the earth, he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. The woman was given the 2 wings of a great eagle so that she might fly to the place prepared for her in the wilderness, where she would be taken care of for a time, times and half a time, out of the serpent's reach. Then from his mouth the serpent spewed water like a river to overtake the woman and sweep her away with the torrent. But the earth helped the woman by opening its mouth and swallowing the river that the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. Then the dragon was enraged at the woman and went off to wage war against the rest of her offspring, those who keep God's commands and hold fast their testimony about Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Would you pray with me this morning that this strange story might enter into who we are and become part of our very being? Would you pray with me? In this moment, Spirit of God, come. Come down upon us with Pentecostal fire. Come upon us and open our ears and our hearts. Come upon me and open my mouth. God, we are dependent upon you. We know we are in your presence, that you have drawn near to us, that you have lifted us up into the heavenlies in Christ Jesus by the power of the Spirit. And yet if you do not speak, Lord, we will hear nothing. And so this morning, be pleased, O Spirit of God, to descend in power and so make the Word of God preached to become the very Word of God, the announcement of Jesus to us. We pray this for Jesus' sake, in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So like all of the people of his day, John is well aware of the stars. The people of the first century, of course, did not have televisions at night to keep them occupied. And so often they would go out stargazing, looking up into the heavens, watching the celestial bodies make their way at different times and seasons. And so, as John is in the Spirit on the Lord's day, he's heard the 7 trumpets now, he's seen the seven seals be broken on the scroll, now it is creation's turn to tell this story. And so John lifts his eyes to the skies, the night skies, the dark vault of heaven. Behold, the astral bodies with rhythms of poetry declare the apocalyptic tale. They tell the story, the Christmas story. A great sign in heaven, Virgo, the Virgin. John sees her there, crowned with the seven constellations of the zodiac, the sun moving through her midst, the moon waxing and waning beneath her feet. She is the ruler there in the heavens, as wide as the skies. And John sees Mary. He sees Jesus' mother, the teenage girl in Bethlehem. But here, across the heavens, she is so much more than just Mary. She is a holy synecdoche. She is a holy part of a greater whole, a sign, a symbol of all of God's people from time past and time future. She is Mary, daughter Zion. 12 constellations in her crown, 12 tribes strong, daughter Zion, Israel. She is Mother Church, the people of the kingdom. 12 star clusters in her crown, 12 apostles strong. This threefold virgin crying out, giving birth in this moment. Her womb is spacious as the heavens. Laboring to give birth to a son, the sign in heaven. But then John sees a second sign. There beside Virgo, the virgin, a sign made out of a ragtag patchwork of stars mashed together. A great monster, a red monster, for a red star pretending to be Mars gives it its crimson color, this constellation. The Greeks called it Scorpio, scorpion. But John sees Leviathan, the seven-headed dragon. The seven-headed dragon, the Tanin of the Hebrews. Seven heads. Glistening with slobber, anxiously snapping its teeth, chasing after this woman about to give birth to a child. The dragon who has a third of the zodiac signs following behind him in the calendar year, the one tossing them to the earth. The dragon, fierce. The woman's contractions are getting stronger and stronger. The baby is crowning. And the dragon looms closer, his head swaying in the dark night sky, smiling those toothy grins. The woman's seed will slip from her belly into his belly, and then he will devour the wailing, screaming mother, the dragon. And then the tiny cry in the heavens. A son is born. The shepherd king is born. Born to rule the nations with a rod of iron. And in this moment, the dragon hisses and lunges forward, teeth snapping. Powerful picture. A picture drawn from times and places. A picture of pure poetry. Of images long known, long seen. And so real that we can almost reach out and touch it. We can touch it. We've seen this sign before, this dragon. We've seen the flash of his red scales here among the pews, slithering around. We've seen the seven heads sniffing our baptismal font. We've seen him out in the foyer, rolling his coils around visitors. "We'll be back." The toothy grin. And then we see them in Fairway. "Oh, we really loved your church, but..." "Well, where are you going to church?" "Well, we really love God, but..." The satanic but. The hind end that casts down a third of the heavens. But. We see this dragon's scales curled up beside our fireplace. We hear his hiss in the night. We feel under attack as people and as a church. We feel, even as we labor to live the life of Christ, as we labor as the people of God to give birth to the Christ being formed in us through prayer and love and self-sacrifice, always the dragon looms over us, the Leviathan, the great accuser. We sense the pressure around us, the animosity, and so we worry. We worry about our own lives, that we are about to be gobbled up by the culture around us. We worry about our church. We worry. This past week, another study came out, an article rather bluntly titled, "Millennials Are Leaving the Church and Not Coming Back." The authors noted that social scientists had long suggested that once millennials finally got married, settled down, and started having kids, they would come back to the church. This is generally how past generations have operated. Go out, be a little wild and crazy, but then once the kids come along, well, we got to get religion. But the data's in. Millennials aren't coming back. The article lamenting this. And we worry. We worry about that dragon chomping right beside us, drawing near. Where will the CRC be in 50 years? Every synod, everybody's putting their heads together. How do we reverse the decline? We worry about this church. What will it be like in 50 years? Will there be a Christmas Eve service in 50 years? Will there be children fidgeting in those reworked pillowcases with the pipe cleaner halos? We worry. We feel the threat of the great monster. We worry. And we begin to cast around for hope, for help. We begin to purchase anti-dragon kits, attending every church growth seminar we can. We begin to hire dragon killers to march around our churches and to keep us safe. Any churchly leader, any political leader, anyone who can offer to protect us from our decline. How do we save the church? How do we save Mother Church? It's all going to fall apart. The dragon is going to gobble us up. He's right there looming in the night sky, ever present. And so we are afraid. Afraid. Afraid that our little church here might just slip into non-existence. I remember when I first got here, one of the ministers in the class is telling me, "Well, your job is to grow this church." And he meant, get more people in the doors because it's about to get eaten up by the dragon. A vivid story. a paralyzing picture. And so we begin to grapple, worried, afraid. What will happen to the church? But all of our grappling backfires, doesn't it? All of our gimmicks, all of our attempts to somehow push the dragon back, our compromises with the world, to somehow make things safer for us. The dragon just looms closer with that toothy grin, with the seven heads snapping, drawing near, and then lunging with a hiss. But it's finally in that moment when we realize that we've failed, the moment when we recognize that we can't save the church. We can't save our church here. I can't save our church. Only in that moment when we recognize that all of our efforts are in vain, that something happens. Because, of course, the story is not over. We lift our eyes again with John to the heavens. The baby is crying, wailing, the shepherd babe. The dragon is lunging, snapping. And then the child is caught up to God's throne to rule forever and ever. The baffled dragon looks on as Mother Mary, Daughter Zion, Mother Church, disappears into the wilderness to be refreshed. What? What happened? How did the baby get to heaven? How did Mary get to safety? John beckons us a second time. And once again, the heavens declare the glory of God, zeroing in on this moment, replaying the moment when the babe ascends to glory, the moment when Mary is saved. John and us with him, we see Satan, the great red dragon, Leviathan himself, gathering his hosts in a great thunderstorm. A third of heaven roiling, frothing, the great thunderhead moving closer to the highest point, and against it a second cloud bank forming, the hosts of heaven led by Michael the archangel. The time is near, the two thunderheads collapsing together into a giant supercell of thunder and lightning. The dragon is about to pounce. There is the baby before him. The great war in heaven. And then it's over before it's even begun. For the child is swept up to glory, marching his way step by step to heaven on the dragon's seven heads, beating it down with the rod of Michael the archangel. And then once enthroned, Leviathan's assault reeling backwards. There is no place for him here. There is no place, no room. Pushed back. And so the great dragon falls like lightning from heaven. He falls amid the rain, the tears of his own rage, anger, and shame. He falls earthward. And out of heaven, a great cry follows him. A regular taunt. The dragon has been defeated by the word and the blood of the Lamb. The dragon, reeling on earth with broken heads and torn body, turns to face the woman. She will bear the brunt of his anger, this threefold cosmic virgin, this young Mary in Bethlehem, this daughter of Zion, Israel, this mother church, the people of God, the new covenant. She will bear his wrath. And so as he swings toward her, her belly still heaving after birth, deflated, she limping to her feet, moving away, him lunging after her, and then a second defeat. Wings sprouting from Mary's shoulders, great eagle wings. And she flies away to a desert place, her feet landing on Mount Sinai for rest. Defeated twice. Defeated. Betrayed by the heavens themselves. And so the dragon vomits great gouts of water after this virgin mother. This will sweep her away. But now he is betrayed by the earth itself. The grain of the universe is against him. The earth swallows up his water, his vomit that would sweep her away. And so the bedraggled, dying creature, Leviathan, the monster of old, slinks towards the sea, his last hope, the seven seas from which he was born. He slinks to the seashore to prepare for a final assault upon the woman and her offspring. The woman and her offspring. Those who keep the commands of God and those who bear witness to the Lamb. Sisters and brothers, we worry. We worry about the church. We worry about our church. And sometimes we cast about for things to do to save it. Because here we are in labor, seeking to give birth to Christ in our own lives, laboring in prayer, laboring in love, laboring in self-sacrifice. And we wonder, well, is this enough? We need more. We need more to press back against the principalities and powers of this dark and evil age. We need more. And as the dragon looms closer, we despair. And then we hear Jesus' voice. Why are you afraid, O you of little faith? In this world you will have tribulations. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. You see, God will always take care of his church, his people. And he gives us a sign of that, a sign for our weak faith. He gives us Mary. Mary, the little teenage girl in Bethlehem. Mary, who is daughter Zion, Israel itself. Mary, who is mother church, the people of God in our own time. He gives us a sign. Go, look at Mary. Just when all seem to be at an end, when Herod himself is coming against Mary and Joseph with the baby, Herod, a great red dragon there in history, about to swallow them whole, God gives her eagle wings. He bears her up into the wilderness, to Egypt, to safety. A sign for our weak faith. Maybe when you are despairing, maybe when I am despairing, when we're wondering about what will Calvin CRC be like in 50 years, what will the Christian Reformed Church be like in 50 years, what will Christianity in general be like in 50 years? Maybe in those moments, we need to go outside and look at the stars. Maybe we need to look up into the heavens with the Apostle John, and find the constellation Virgo, the Virgin. And as we gaze upon it with the Apostle John, recognize that 1,000 years from now, if the Lord tarries, the politicians will be dead and gone, our culture will be of antiquarian interest in museums, and yet Mary will still be here. The church will still be here. She'll still be there in the sky. There will still be a witness to God here in this place. And as we gaze there upon the heavens, that cosmic sign, with John we will begin to hear the words of Isaiah the prophet echoing in our ears. Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord. My cause is disregarded by my God. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weak, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not grow faint. God will always give his church wings. God will take care of us. We do not need to be afraid. We do not need to compromise. We can live in the reality of the victory of Jesus. And that is good news. That is the gospel. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Would you stand now and sing with us this morning of hope that was born this night, of the one who has defeated the dragon, the one who is our hope against the forces of this world, and the one who will always keep us and our church safe.
See a star shine.
sisters and brothers, now as you go out in mission and in ministry to love and to serve God, go out without fear. The dragon hovers over all of us, and yet the reality is God will always protect his people, his church. And if you have a moment of doubt, go look at the stars. Go see Mary up there, the dragon chasing after her, but never quite able to get her because of the blood and witness of the Lamb. Receive now the parting blessing of your God. May the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you always. And all of God's people said together, Amen.